It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We appreciate it. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Dude, do you think Catholic school is bad? I spent 3 terrible years in a Baptist school. A Baptist school. How do we earn money? No fooling. This email says, we sold a peppered beef stick product at $3 a pop. It was titled... We sold a peppered beef stick product called Holy Ghost Meat.
What?
He says, I swear to God, Holy Ghost Meat. Oh, this is from Aaron. And then he's, listen to this. He says, by the way, I was kicked out of school shortly thereafter. This is the sentence of the day, by the way. This is the phrase of the day. I've already, people have already suggested the phrase of the day. And this is not a thing, again, that we've been encouraging. Just the audience has taken it upon themselves to select phrases, sentences, and turns of figures of speech that are used throughout the program. And they've sort of been compiling them at the end. For instance, we've got Richard, who has selected this one. Phrase of the day, quote, did she decorate his pelvis with croutons first? I guess I just said that. Here's the phrase of the day, though. Aaron says, I was kicked out of school shortly thereafter for calling my teacher a frigid she-whore because she took away my Constructicons. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, you're forgetting the greatest Stephen Hawking TV moment. It was on The Simpsons when he made some long, touching speech to which Homer shouted, yeah, Larry Flint is right. That's fantastic. What else here? Rick... let's see. Oh, yeah. Suggest Rick Emerson Christmas event, Tased and Confused, a benefit for kids.
That's great.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, we're calling that right now, you sons of bitches. Hey, did you know that Stephen Hawking has a really hot wife? I did know that, actually, and she's a nurse. I guess that's the trade-off. You know, the whole stuck in a chair with a Borg box for a voice. All right. I don't even know what's going on. Let's get these calls, then we...
Are we going to talk Rockstar?
Yeah, but it's 1:15 already. Do we have somebody at 1:30? We don't.
No, Jen Lane's out of town. Oh, so we don't have her today.
That is right. Okay, and we have Rupe at 2. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have other stuff. Okay, so let's...
We'll be fine.
Well, let's do these calls first. Hello, Greg. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
How you doing, Rick?
What's up?
I wanted to make you guys an offer on your Tase for Tots, if you actually do it.
Yes.
I run a small construction company. Oh, we have 4 men and 2 women. I can guarantee myself and 2 of the other men... We'll be willing to let the rest of our crew pump the tasers in to bring in the money.
Now, wait, hold on. So you have a construction crew.
Yeah.
And so you are offering what now?
I'm offering our construction crew to tase our construction crew for you.
Wait, so you're offering to... Do these guys know you're doing this? You're offering up your guys to be tased.
Yeah, a couple of these guys are my best friends, and they're not any slouches either, so, you know... I know I'll be up there, and at least 2 of these other guys. I know an Isaac and a Frank for sure. You know, there's a couple of guys, maybe not so much, but, you know, they'll enjoy it. I'll enjoy it. It'll be a lot of fun.
You're just volunteering.
For Christmas.
You're volunteering guys who work for you to be tased with 50,000 volts.
Yes, I am.
I think that might go badly for you with the next union vote, sir.
Well, it's not quite like that. We're a family business, and these guys are longtime friends and family members, and we've all hit each other a little bit with a couple of them lady stun guns before, and you know, we're getting older now, so we don't drink quite like that, but I think it'd be a fun thing to do for Christmas.
And it's for the kids.
That's right. It's
right.
For the kids.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
All right. I'll be listening.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Can I dial out on this phone, Sarah?
Yes.
What do I do? Do I just pick up this line here?
Yeah. Well, you have to dial out of the hotline.
All right. Do I now hit 9?
No, you don't hit 9.
I don't?
Uh-uh.
I'm calling Dave Zinn, manager of the Rick Emerson office east. All right, there you go. Thank you. We'll see if Susan Reynolds is there.
Are you calling to see if we can tase people?
Yes. Yes, I am. Okay. And then we'll talk to Kristen.
Right.
We've also got Trish.
Thank you for calling. Can you phone the mix?
Oh, hello. This is the Rick Emerson Show. I was looking for Dave Zinn. You're on the air, don't swear. Hi, is Susan Reynolds around?
Just a second.
Thank you. All right. No idea who that was.
You're on the air, don't swear.
Well, and I think you have to...
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Susan, it's Rick Emerson. How are you?
You know, I had a feeling when I heard you say, can I dial out on this line? I thought, my phone is going to ring at any moment.
Well, it's really, I just really look for opportunities to talk to Dave Zinn. How are you today?
Oh, well, you know, I'm just mulling over all the possibilities that are out in front of us now.
Okay, here's the thing. Tase for Tots.
Yeah, I heard. I love Tase and Confused. And
Tase,
that's great.
It's for the children. They are America's greatest natural resource.
Yes, I know. I have a couple of them myself.
So I'm just saying, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, I love the idea, and I love the enthusiasm of the listeners who consistently step forward. And truly, you know, they're the most generous people on earth.
This is management. This is management preface to no.
You feel a butt coming on?
Well, this is a whole lot of like, you know what it is? This is a lot of, we feel like you guys have made a lot of really good progress, and you really have done some amazing things with this station.
But we're
sadly
going to have to let you go.
Yeah, unfortunately, Katie Couric is costing us $14 million, so you have to be out by the end of the day.
No, I don't think it's anything quite that extreme. I do know that all these things have to run up the CBS legal flagpole,
yeah,
which, as you know, is a very slippery slope.
It is true. We have many police officers who listen to the radio program,
mm-hmm,
here. I wonder if that's something, because, you know, the cops do that thing occasionally where you get drunk on the air so,
yeah,
they can test your reflex. I wonder, like our friend Lyle had this happen. He was going through the police academy, and they tase him, and they pepper spray him and everything. I wonder, what if we could get some of our fine, you know, some members of the Thin Blue Line to do this?
But they would be doing the tasing of the listeners.
No, well, ideally, but
or tasing you guys, which is
no, that's not going to happen. I'm saying that cops do this thing where they, before they're allowed to, as I understand it, before they're allowed to use a taser or pepper spray, they have to have it used on them. The idea being that they got to know what it feels like.
Oh, I get you. Okay.
So I'm saying, maybe we could find some cops who were going to be tased anyway.
Right.
And then, you know, we have like some sort of a, you know, some sort of a tally, some sort of a tote board where if the listeners donate X amount of money for the children,
uh-huh,
you know, like if they get halfway to the goal, then it's a pepper spraying. If they get all the way to the goal, a pepper spraying and a tasing.
Sure, why not?
Just think on it.
I'm thinking on it. I was actually thinking about the running around the track and the tasing, and I was thinking, well, that would be one way to keep people moving.
Wait, it really is just me behind them with a cattle prod.
Yeah, get on with you, on with you, and then, you know, tase.
All right. Sort of like a mush.
You know, I just love our job because, you know, when you get home at the end of the day and you know, your spouse says, honey, what'd you do today? Well,
no, it's true. I really was talking to I think I was talking to Scotty J about this the other day. He was doing something. He was finding some story about a clown that had exposed himself,
right,
to a group of nuns or something. And I was trying to get him to step back for a minute and to really appreciate how different his life is on a day to day basis from that of most people.
I mean, really, the fun never stops here.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, we'll check. Well, I guess we'll follow up as we get closer to the holidays. We'll find out if we can make this happen.
Well, something tells me we're going to need a ton of lead time on this one, so we better start now.
Well, lucky for us that we're all massively efficient.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Susan Reynolds from CBS Radio Marketing. All right. Good. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Kristen from accounting, who joins us now for a rock star recap. How are you, sister?
Oh yeah, you know. It was just kind of a letdown last night.
It was really. It's just boring to watch.
It's like a balloon with all the air gone.
Considering we were in the bathroom for half the show at one point, you know.
Yeah, we're just sitting in there chatting away.
Who? Oh, you.
Kiki and Kristen and I.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you make out afterward?
Yes, it was very
I'm trying to help Kiki's self-esteem, baby. It's, you know, she's got to feel good about
Kristen,
herself.
If anyone's feeling down about their womanhood, Kristen's a great woman to hang out with. She's very positive.
If anybody's feeling down about what?
No, because, you know, Kiki was just feeling a little down. So
now, you keep saying that, but you don't say why.
You don't need to know why. All you need to know is that Kiki was in need of...
Sorry, meow. Just asking. Brother can't ask a question. I'm just saying, is she feeling unlucky in love?
I don't know.
Aren't we all?
Yes. Aren't we all unlucky?
I'm just going to make up my own reason then. Okay, wait, hold on. Okay. There you go.
Does it deal with her making out with Heather in your mind?
Yes. Yes, it does. Wait, no. I don't even know who Heather is. Moving on. So we got some calls coming in about Rockstar. But last night was the final competition episode. Tonight is the elimination episode. Sarah, and I don't know, but Sarah already knows, she says.
And I bet Kristen does, too. Do you?
You know, I don't.
Oh.
So that's the thing, because I don't want to know yet. I'm sure that by the end of the show, it'll...
I don't want to tell. No, because it's like this is the finale for everything, so I'm not going to say who it is.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, we should keep this one spoiler-free.
Yeah. It's just as well.
I'm just really happy to know.
See, you can't say that, though, because that already...
Well, maybe I'm bluffing.
You have such a bad... But you can't bluff.
Yes,
you
I
don't
can.
Know how to bluff.
No, because this is different. This is big. I'm not going to blow this one.
Okay, Scotty, you know what to do.
Stop, no.
we're 10. Oh, wait, hold on. Where's my horror sounder?
Stop. No, you said you deleted that.
I did delete it. Oh, wait, no, here it is.
Rick.
I'm sorry, should I?
I
over the line.
You to delete that one.
You didn't ask me to delete anything.
Yes, I did. Well, I told you that was the when you played it last time, like, that is the last time, Rick.
You're just upset because you can't find the one where you called me a whore. Because there were two
Rick Emerson, you're a goddamn whore.
Yeah, how convenient that the one that Rick said is missing.
Exactly.
Don't look at me. I didn't assemble them. I am not the... Go take it up with the...
Yeah, because Scotty J is your little buddy.
Anyway.
So all I can say is that some people will be disappointed, some people will be happy.
Anyway, so last night was...
And if you missed it, you really didn't miss anything, people, so...
Well, I was going to say, and I don't know whether it's because Storm wasn't performing as such, or whether it's because... In other words, I don't know whether it's because we have a personal vested interest in Storm, we love Storm, and therefore her absence is, you know, makes the show sort of boring, or... if it's that we're feeling her absence simply because she's the best performer. In other words, even if we didn't know Storm personally, I wonder if last night would have been a letdown.
Well, and after all of the media attention she did get, I mean, I didn't see Patrice on Ellen. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear, you know, Ryan talking on Howard Stern.
No, that's true.
It's like she just brings so much to wherever she's, you know, whenever she's being interviewed, whenever she's performing. She's just it. She was born to do this. And none of those guys can even come close to what she's been doing.
It's true. We should kind of go through... I think we do have sound, actually.
We can half-heartedly go through what happened.
Just recap some crap we don't care about. Wait, hold on,
I went back online this morning to check out the performance, all the performances, as I usually do. And, you know, 2.5 minutes most of them are. I couldn't even sit through that much. I had to just, you know, skim through them.
Well, I will say this, that based on last night, I do believe... And again, Sarah knows, but she's not going to reveal it. I do believe Lucas wins, and here's how I'll say that. Here's why. I believe there was a bunch of foreshadowing last night. One, and here's, it's based on something they cut out. They cut out Dave Navarro at the taping saying to Delana, "You have a great voice, and we'll always remember it." Which to me is very telling.
Very telling.
And they cut out Toby's.
They cut out.
I don't want to come out yet.
They cut out Toby's remark about coming out of the closet as well.
Wait for that in Portland, my dear.
But I believe he can be on this reality show with Josh and Jesse or whatever. The most telling moment to me last night, though, on Rockstar is, and I believe this is A, foreshadowing, and B, some of that really obvious audience manipulation, and it's where Dave Navarro said, after Lucas's performance, Dave Navarro said, "Not only would I listen to that, I'd buy a ticket to go see that," which is totally his way of implying to the idiot audience, "You will buy a ticket." It's a total Jedi mind trick of like, this is the droid you were looking for. So, and Lucas was the only original last night that I can even remember. I mean, I can remember the O-O-O part of Toby's, but Lucas's song gets stuck in my head. It really does.
And I like the way he slowed it down last night, too.
And I wasn't a huge fan of that song the first time he did it, but it's a good song. His Radiohead was really good.
Oh, when he played Coldplay last night,
that
song is so beautiful to begin with, and he's such a good job.
And it was, because it's Toby that sang Radiohead, right? And it was
Toby did Karma.
So it's, you know, Lucas and Storm really nailed this, too, when she said that Lucas has that androgynous thing. And even though they can't call themselves this anymore, Supernova, the whole thing just seems kind of androgynous, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think, was it you that was making the point yesterday about he kind of, he appeals to that, they're all kind of like, you know, 40s rocker dudes.
Right.
And he kind of has that crossover potential where he can get, you know, chicks, he can get dudes, he can get a younger cross-section of people.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the glam thing.
Yeah.
Let's see.
He might appeal to more.
This is Trish. Trish here on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, he may have foreshadowed with the ticket thing. Jason Newsted basically called him gay. I don't know if anyone else caught that exactly.
Jason called who gay?
Bukas.
When?
When after, let's see, he was, the guys were the backup singers for Delana.
Oh, when he was talking about his...
Matching outfits. Put the boys on matching outfits, and then Lucas, you do the choreography.
Well, I think, I think that's a reference to the fact that Lucas is always flailing around.
They could have gone with the Paula Abdul joke.
Yeah, maybe. But did you notice that every time Lucas sings, he does that one thing where he sort of spins around. He's just got that one sort of whirling dervish kind of move.
The only thing I can notice about Lucas when he sings is that he, I'm sorry, is tremendously ugly and can't seem to open his eyes at all.
It's because they're weighed down with a lot of blue eyeshadow.
Oh, I can't. If he wins, if he, I will be so sad. I don't understand why anyone, it's bad. He is the male Delana.
As opposed to who? I mean,
what surprised me? Who won?
Stop.
I want Toby to win so that Magni can actually go do something worthwhile. And then Lucas and Delana can just kind of fade away.
And they can just go drink themselves to death in a flop house. All right.
Oh, we need to play Delana's song today, that All Planets song.
Oh, the horrible
pop song that she raps in.
All right. Well, thank you.
How about Roxanne? It was like nails on chalkboard?
I thought actually her performance of Roxanne was the best thing she's done all season.
Well, it may have been, but still.
Well, I mean, we shouldn't say it's good, I suppose. All right. Thank you, Trish.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. All right. Scotty is reminding me that we actually have audio from last night, but we got to take a break. So, Kristen, you want to hang on?
Sure.
Okay, you're not working or anything.
I'm not working or anything.
Thank you. Attention, attention, Kate.
Kristen, are you going to Dante's tonight to watch it?
Of course, I wouldn't miss the world.
Yeah, I was just saying, and it would be foolish not to go now.
We can hang out in the bathroom again. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. Just all grist for the... All right, back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rockstar Recap, and then we'll do a round of predictions, etc. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this with Tim Riley and more from Kristen from accounting. Stay right there. Your whole body just gives up.
Oh.
Your body's just, fine. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland. And it wasn't the good-looking, naturally large bosoms.
I know. Yeah, they're starting to get, they're all just stretchy.
It's bad, bad nursing boobs.
Exactly. Because she just got done with the suckling, now she's starting all over again.
Why? Oh, you didn't just do that. Oh, they're going to be all long. It's sort of like when you take it's sort of like when you would take a ball of clay and you just roll it between your fingers, between your hands. That's what it is. Okay. Hey, it's 503-733. Okay, but I have to ask this, though. I understand why you're wearing it, but the question is,
why do I own it?
Why do you own a padded bra?
Every once in a while, need to be a little more proportioned. I just like it.
What does that mean? Does that mean that you...
No, I mean, like, some shirts... I don't know. I bought it a long time ago. I got it at Target for, like, $6.
Is it... Sexy.
I know. Woo.
Is this the... Honey, when you come over to... When you wear your bra from Target...
I think I actually got it for a listener party when... I bought a dress for the listener party for one of the Halloween ones. And it was too small.
Was it when you had to wear the wedding dress?
Yeah.
Because that wedding dress was from a different
one. Yeah, yeah. And so, like, it had normal straps, like bra straps, but I needed to fill it out a little
bit. I just wondered if that was a thing. I thought maybe now and again a woman needs to feel a little boost to her self-esteem or something. And what better way than to, you know, guys don't understand how any of this stuff works. It really, the female mind, as has been said by a billion different people, it's just a mystery to all of us. So I just don't understand how that whole thing operates. All right, well, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We're talking to Kristen from accounting about Rockstar Supernova last night. We'll get back to that in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, let's check in with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Poison pigeons began nosediving to the pavement and dying on downtown sidewalks, ruining the Texarkana, Texas annual street festival. Authorities cleaned up more than 25 sick or dead birds that apparently had eaten poisoned corn from the roof of a nearby bank building. This is an unfortunate incident, said the Cap One Bank president, Lucy McMahon. It was not the intention of the bank to harm these birds.
Poisoned the birds? Yes, of course.
But here's what happened. The bank hired an exterminator to handle its pigeon problem after birds entered the bank and defecated on customers. So, they sprinkled poisoned corn on the roof of the bank in an attempt to frighten the birds away. However,
it ended badly.
It ended badly.
Okay, there you go.
Stephanie King had to tell her music teacher that a raccoon was to blame for her missing homework. I explained that the raccoon fell from the ceiling in my bathroom and ran into my bedroom. Animal control came to get it, but couldn't catch it. We couldn't go into the room. Stephanie's grandmother vouched for her story with school officials. I told them she couldn't get to her homework or books because everything was locked down due to the raccoon in the bedroom. A driver is charged with leaving the scene of an accident with injuries after a car hit a bicyclist who was on the road waiting for an ambulance to treat him after he was hit by another car before that.
Bam!
Oh. Shannon Harris of Andersonville, wherever that is, told investigators she initially was leaving the scene of the accident when she was hit again. A thief with a taste for pork put a damper on a fundraiser for scholarships by making off with nearly 350 pounds of pork.
Any story containing the phrase with a taste for pork is immediately better.
Cromwell Town Manager Rick Snyder said about 300 pounds of pork burgers and 45 pounds of hot dogs were taken from the community center walk-in freezer in the town about 35 miles northwest of Fort Wayne. Apparently, the theft was discovered by members of the Lions Club who went to pick up the meat. The group had planned to sell the pork burgers and hot dogs at the festival to raise money for scholarships for West Noble High School students. That won't happen now. The stolen meat will have a negative impact in the amount of money raised, and some children will not go to college. Meanwhile, we had another story here. What do I do with that here?
No one knows.
Okay, there's a rumor afoot that Air America is going bankrupt again. We keep hearing this over and over.
Is that a rumor or is that a thing that's happened?
It is a true rumor.
All right. So that's actually news. Yeah. Dan. All right.
Apparently.
Haven't we had this story before?
Al Franken has confirmed once again the Trouble Network is facing a serious cash crunch. And, well, he couldn't cash his paycheck.
This, by the way, happened, unless you think that you're listening to a best of. This happened a couple years ago.
2004.
This happened 2 years ago, right after Air America went on the air. They've been on the air, I believe. There's a record. I'm recreating this in my head, so I might be off. But I believe that they've been on the air only 6 months when all of their paychecks bounced. And they had to get some sort of a consolidation loan from the Money Tree or whatever because they couldn't pay anybody. So there you go. So this is, the second time?
Yeah.
Okay, so for those who are keeping score, I know it's hard to believe, but Air America's had to declare. By the way, Air America, which constantly and repeatedly maligns the Bush administration for mishandling its finances and running at a deficit, Air America has now gone bankrupt twice, by the way. So what you shouldn't do, though, is call up and point that out to them. It would be wrong for you to do that.
Here's something else is going to go bankrupt very soon, an all-woman radio talk network.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to succeed.
Oh, we should tell Gary Baumgarten about that.
And all you ladies who are listening who want to get into talk radio,
get your recipes ready. Mm-hmm. Prepare your calls about how to remove stubborn stains or what club soda can do.
Social activist Gloria Steinem and actress Jane Fonda have launched this all-talk network across the U.S.
Because really, here's a form.
Run by women.
here's a form.
It'll be an alternative to current radio talk, which is described as argumentative, quite hostile, and very much male-dominated.
It's going to be an alternative to all that really entertaining talk out there that people are tired of. And by the way, because we've learned, as I think the best part is that this follows on the heels of the Air America bankruptcy story, because clearly what we've learned is that the key to success in radio is to hire a bunch of people who are not radio hosts and have no radio talent or experience. Then give them lots of money and start counting on your fingers from 10 to 1 and how many months it takes for them to fritter that all away. Who's this being run by? Gloria Steinem and who?
Jane Fonda.
Because when you think quality radio, when you think quality radio, you think Jane Fonda. Yes.
Maybe they can set up Whoopi Goldberg.
Jane Fonda and Gloria Steinem. The thing about Jane Fonda is, and I don't think I'm wrong about this, Jane Fonda is one of those women who I'm pretty sure is disliked even by most other women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. I mean, I know some people, my wife, who people who love Gloria Steinem. There are some women's studies majors out there who have, you know, the moving beyond words or whatever sitting on their bookshelf. I don't really know anybody who likes Jane Fonda. I'm pretty sure not even the people related to Jane Fonda like Jane Fonda. So, there you go. So what you can do is, if you'd like to imagine what this show is going to sound like a year from now, take that story we had about Air America going bankrupt for the second time and just in your head put blah, 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 Chick Radio Network and just sort of swap it out.
Well, it says women have been fleeing the AM band in droves. 18% have left. Like, they're all going to run back.
Yeah. Yeah, this will bring them all back. Oh, hey, I think we got breaking news here. And we'll get, I'm sorry, Kristen feels like things are just, news is breaking constantly. Wait, hold on, let me find the, it's right here, hold on. We have some breaking news, Sarah. You'll want to be ready with the Whitney sounder.
Okay.
Oh, all right. I know what's happening.
I'm all up in his grill.
Welcome to the Rick Emerson. That's been too long. Carol, our token Italian. How are you, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm dandy. Is it true that you told Scotty the other day that you felt I was ignoring your phone calls?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, don't be paranoid.
I'm not. All right. Everybody's watching me, so, you know.
Okay. All right. That came out a little too quickly and naturally.
I know.
All right. So what have you got here? Have you got a Whitney watch?
Yes.
All right. Let's play the Ladies and Gentlemen vacuum. All right. What is your news, Carol?
Whitney Houston has filed for divorce.
Oh!
Oh, they've been together a long time.
And we were hoping those crazy kids could make it work. Well, there you go. Really, if you can't rely on Bobby and Whitney in this world, what can you rely on?
No, we're just going to have to go back to Michael Jackson.
They really are kind of the Bert and Lonnie, though. I mean, here's the thing about Whitney and Bobby. I think everybody feels the way that we feel about it, which is that, and I think I'm speaking for Sarah on this, is that on the one hand, you knew they were just the most effed up couple, but and just bad for each other in 100 different ways. But on the other hand, there was something sort of perversely sweet about it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she is now a skinny, cracked out whore, and that he is, you know, Bobby Brown, and yet somehow they stuck together, they clung together through thick and thin, you know, better or worse, and worse and worse. And worse, none of them pulled the ripcord on it, and so that was kind of inspirational in a horrifying sort of way, and now it's gone.
There is a new couple to watch now,
which is,
well, the Federlines.
I suppose. Does she file for divorce or did
he?
He
did.
She did?
Yes, I got breaking news on my computer.
On what grounds did Whitney Houston file for divorce, did you say?
Breaking news, so it didn't have any details yet.
Probably just the irreconcilable differences.
Probably he ran out of crack. Yeah. I don't know.
That would be an allegation. They don't live in California, though. It's Atlanta, right?
Atlanta, yeah.
Okay, so Ed McCarthy will be talking about this tomorrow, probably. All right, thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Let's go. Thank you.
I'm all up in his grill.
All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll get back to Kristen here.
An Australian man, we're getting back to normal Australian stories, not the healing process as we get on with the crocodile hunter. This is normal Australian news. An Australian man, under investigation for legally spamming people, sent more than 2 billion emails promoting Viagra in a year's time. Experts say that's a drop in the ocean compared to the number of spam emails sent globally each year, and the system he used probably wasn't very sophisticated. The Australian Communications and Media Advisory began investigating the man whose identity was not immediately released after receiving a tip-off from authorities in the Netherlands. So, Australia has one of the toughest laws in the world against spamming. And apparently, under their spam law, it is illegal for Australian residents to be involved in sending unsolicited emails, even if they're generated from an outside country.
I don't think spammers should go to prison. I think it should be like a Stephen King, The Long Walk kind of a thing. I think spammers, they really should just have to walk door to door apologizing to everybody that they spammed in person, one by one, no matter how long it takes. That's it. You know, the prisons of the penal system will pay their room and boarding and their shoes and their, you know, bunion pads and so forth. But they have to go door to door and apologize, and then we get to kick them in the junk if we want to. Everybody just gets one good swing on them. All right, we'll have more news at the top. at the 2 o'clock hour and more news at 2:30 as well, plus Jim Roop. We're talking to our good friend Kristen from accounting here.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, sorry. Am I interrupting your work?
No, not at all.
I didn't think so.
I've actually been, I'm spreading the word even more. I'm back in engineering, and I had your show on speakerphone.
Excellent.
For them.
You are a good person.
Yeah, I'm trying.
All right. So, let's talk about last. We got all of this sound from last night. Let's see.
What a treat.
Let's do it the opposite from how we normally do it. This time, I will play some of the sound, and then we'll just kind of comment on it briefly, and then we'll talk about our predictions for tonight.
Cool. Okay.
All right. This is Brooke Burke.
I also think that by the end of tomorrow night, one of them will win the most exciting prize in rock and roll.
Oh, my God.
We
all laughed.
Oh, that's just sad.
Oh, she sold that so well.
This is like last night when they were talking to Jason Newsted about, and Jason Newsted, who is he's the worst shiller of the four of them, because I do believe that he's kind of, again, a smart guy. I get the sense that he has sort of some musical integrity, and if you've seen...
He seems a little embarrassed at times.
If you've seen Some Kind of Monster, which is that Metallica documentary, he seems like a very grounded, very rational, and not a joyless person, but a guy who takes stuff very seriously. And as I've said numerous times, I believe that this is a business decision for him. That this is sort of the entertainment equivalent of working on a fishing boat in Alaska over the summer to pay for your college.
Exactly.
It sucks.
It'll hard.
It'll
pay off in the end for him.
Totally. It sucks. It's hard. It's embarrassing, and it might damage you. But you know, at the end, you'll make some money, and it'll help you achieve your goals. That's
exactly
what this is. And so, last night, did you catch this? So Jason, tell us how the Supernova tour is going. And he was like, and you could tell him, he was trying to come up with something, and he said, it's gaining momentum. We're sold out in Albany. And that was kind of it. That was really all he had to say. Let's see. I'm just going to play these in the order Scotty gave them to me here. This is Lucas singing his Head Spin song, Unplugged.
And I hear you say, let's live for the moment, this time. Why don't you just make up your mind, your mind? Make my head spin, you make my head spin. Why, oh,
okay, I'm going to say this right now. And I know this sounds like Dave Navarro talking here, but I would buy this song. I'd buy this song. If this was a song I heard on the radio, I think I'd listen to this. And I can't say that really for anything else that I've heard except for Storm stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I really would listen to this. A good song. He's a good singer. And it kind of gets stuck in my head. So... you know, and then this is what they said about him afterward, and this, I believe, is the telltale comment last night. This is Dave Navarro.
Lucas! Yeah! Dude, now that you've shown so many different sides to your voice, not only can I do it, but I'd buy a ticket to see you do it.
That right there is that I think is the telling remark.
That does give a little bit away, I think, of where their heads are at.
In my opinion, I think it gives everything away.
Yeah.
I think that is their way of implying to the audience that when Lucas wins this, you will go and you will buy tickets to see him in Albany or whatever.
No, they're already sold out there.
To come and rock Akron. This is Delana singing Roxanne.
I really did like it.
I do believe this is her best performance of the season.
Of the whole season, yeah.
And it was really shrewd of her to get the other three to come out and sing behind her. Although, yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It's just because Chris the mailman made this point last night as well, that so she had the three guys behind her singing back up. Don't I seem to recall that Storm got, like, blasted for including one of her rock mates?
Yeah, Toby upstaged her.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Toby, you were out there to support Storm, is what they said at one point. He was supporting Storm.
So I just didn't get that.
No, it's just because, again, it's because, it is so obviously weighted and tilted.
Yeah.
Look, let's be honest. I mean, if Delana goes out tonight, if she gets eliminated, I'll be curious to see how many of the guys volunteer to play on her goddamn record.
None. I can answer that for you.
So this is a little bit of Delana singing Roxanne by the Police, which, again, I thought was really good, although, and I don't think I'm projecting here, I do believe that this is a very storm-like performance, and I know that...
Well, and you're right about the hair, because she's starting to look much smoother. Yeah. She's trying to become a little more attractive, it seems.
Yeah, that's...
Rather than scary.
Yeah, that's... She's
a desperate last attempt.
Yeah, it's not really going to work.
No.
I hope she cries.
Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne.
Not bad. There's nothing wrong with this.
You don't have to put on the red light.
Right. Although, okay, again, I do, this does point out another problem with her, and is emblematic of so many of the people who I hear singing in popular music at this point in time, which is that she is an over-singer, again.
Yeah, it's about halfway through, she starts the crazy vibrato thing.
Yeah. Well, she sounds a lot like Melissa Etheridge here.
Yeah.
And Melissa Etheridge has that where there's no middle gear there. It's Melissa Etheridge goes from the whisper to the really weird guttural, like, gut-shaking bellow, which I don't really care for.
Yeah, it's almost like a blast.
Yeah. Right there.
Just like that.
Yeah. You don't have to put on the red light. I'm a man, baby. All right. And then this is...
They did a great job with that backup vocal stuff, too.
They were really good.
That was really great.
They were good. This is a little bit of her hideous original. So, another
game, sickly insane, gave me the blame. Sounds like Elton, and I can't place what song it sounds like.
Yeah, she's very nasal. Blinded by the spells of darkness, but that's history. And then she did this whole thing of work in the room and going all the way to the back. And she did that leg kick like 5 different times.
Yeah.
I have lost track of the number of people who are either medical people or athletes or whatever who have told us that if she really had torn a calf muscle, there's absolutely no way that she would be able to do that.
Yeah, and what's the recovery time on that?
I don't know. The whole thing just grates on me. Let's see. This is the judges talking about her.
Baby. You know how much I love you, don't you?
I think so. Yes.
Multiply that by 1,000. I think you're awesome. And it's nice to see you back. You are just back. You're on top. Really smart to get your competitors to sing backup for you, by the way. Great job. I loved it. Loved it all. You know, you're such a... you're so beautiful to watch perform. We love you.
Thanks, Tony.
We get to last night, we get to Magni, who I think they really nailed it when they said that of all of these guys, he's got, in many ways, I feel like he's got the best voice of the remaining four.
Yeah.
But
I really enjoy his voice.
There's just
not much to look at, not much there.
And I wish that they would give him some better material to sing. He sings Hush, the Deep Purple, you know, the version of Hush, which is really good. And then his original, which I'm not even going to bother to play here because because Tommy Lee really nails it here. Here's the Tommy Lee's comment about Magni's original.
Let's hear it from Magni. Dude, you can't see it from there, but there's a young lady right here. She's literally fanning herself.
Yeah, it's really warm in here.
It ain't that, bro. Dude, killer job. The Deep Purple song was really exciting, man. I felt like a...
It was fun.
That was a lot of fun, man. I just personally... want to thank you for putting on a great show, great way to end the set. And right now, it's like the cards are going to fall where they will, dude. You guys are all awesome. And Magni, great job, dude.
The original track, I'm going to be really honest. Lucas, Delana, and Toby's original tracks, I remember. I don't remember anything about that.
Sorry, that's me. Which is totally true. I think is that guy in a nutshell. Good voice. Bland entertainer.
Yeah, and you know, actually, Rick, a question for you, since you were there.
Yes.
And we noticed this is the voting as of
totally.
5 minutes ago.
No.
And Delana was on top. Did you get the feeling, being there, that people were more into Delana than the other people?
Yes. Yes, I did. My read on the audience at Sunday, at the live taping, was that Delana... her, people were really into her, I think, A, because the judges have programmed the audience to love her, and B, because, you gotta say it, her stage performance is really shameless. It's really shameless and pandering and designed. And not that Toby's is too. That's the thing.
Totally.
I gotta give it up to Toby, and everybody who knows me knows that there's sort of two halves to my personality musically. I like stuff that's raw and sort of real, as they say, you know, or whatever, legitimate or honest. But there is this Malcolm McLaren, Gene Simmons part of me that does admire gimmickry and showmanship.
And he's the master of that.
Toby is every... You think about it, he's never duplicated a gimmick, ever.
Which I think might... that might just be the tipping point for him to win it.
I think... Here's what I... And let's see, is there anything else here we want to play? Well, there's Toby and... Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. He sings a Radiohead, and then Lucas sings this thing. And Scotty, let's see, this is some Delana stuff. We'll get to that here in a while. But, we should take a break here, because we come back, we got Jim Roop.
Should we take that song into the break?
Do we have time, or we have room
for
two?
Kristen, have you heard Delana's Take Me to All Planets?
Let's do it when we come back, because we're already past two, and we got Roop, who is actually already a little late. So let's do this. We'll break, we'll come back, we'll talk to Jim Roop. Kristen, we'll bring you back, and we will talk about this horrible Delana song that we got a hold of, and then we'll make our final predictions for tonight's Rockstar Supernova finale. You stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Stay there. All right.